Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. I am back and ready for another show. Hey, I know it's been too long. It went almost a month. Much, much too long. I had some guests planned. The guests canceled at the last minute. You know how that throws you into a, I can't do it tomorrow because I'm out of town. And I've been traveling. I've been working on a cruise ship. I went back on the ships. That's right. I was on Royal Caribbean working through Cozumel and the Caymans, and tomorrow, actually, I'm getting back on another royal ship, and I'm going to Jamaica. So that's what I'm doing, and I had to get this podcast for you today. I got a great guest for you, actually a great guest. It's from the podcast Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I don't know if you guys listen to it. If you don't, you should. Hillbilly Nerd Talk is a husband and wife podcast, Hank and Petra, and they do a show sort of like Janet and I do with Wrinkled Sheets, you know, the show that I do with my girlfriend. It's just sort of a chance to get together and sit down and talk and share ideas, and they do hot topics, and they do relationship topics, and it's just a great show, all around great show. Today's guest is Hank. Hank, as you may have guessed by the name, is the guy half of that show. I know. Who knew, Hank? But if you listen to the show, or if you have listened to the Hillbilly Nerd Talk in the past, you know Hank is a great guy. And so I'm lucky to have him here on Remasculate. So let's get this thing started. Here's Hank. I am happy to have on the show today a fellow podcaster who I stumbled upon and really enjoyed the show. So it became a subscribed podcast. It's called Hillbilly Nerd Talk. And I have... Should I say, I was going to say better half, but I better not, huh?
Yes, Hillbilly Nerd Talk, and yes, it's me and Petra.
It's Hank and Petra.
And we've done the same. We've stumbled upon your show and your girlfriend's show, and it's a good way to meet new friends here. That's exactly why we started doing this.
Is that why you guys started doing it? Because I know you guys are, from listening to the Hillbilly Nerd Talk, you guys have a pretty successful real life.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of fun to have an alias.
Uh-huh.
And a kind of a dual personality, or I don't even know if dual personality is the right word, but some sort of an outlet where you can more be yourself than you can really show to the whole general world. And you being a comedian, maybe you have a little more freedom of that. I listen to a lot of comedian and comedy podcasts, and that frees you up a lot to be yourself. But, you know, the rest of us with jobs in the medical field and things we deal with the public, like, we've got to put a governor on ourselves and kind of, you know, you can't say everything that you really feel. And this podcast for me and Petra is just a great outlet for, not that we're talking about ideas of terrorists blowing up the world, but how it goes. Even if you talk politics or religion and it's different than somebody else, and one of your friends gets a hold of it, it's just not good.
Well, how do you guys hide the fact? When I listen to you, you go like, well, you know, this area we're from, if they found out about us,
they would. They would lynch us. Like, it'd be like the scene in Frankenstein where they all come after the monster. I'm just telling you.
See, seriously, you believe that?
To a point. Yeah. I mean, we have, again, customers and people we relate to. And yeah, if we got on here and if they heard one of our podcasts that we were, not big on, we're not really real religious people, and they heard us talk about that, yeah, it would seriously, hurt us in our community.
They would take off their Bible belt and whoop you.
You damn right they would. Repeatedly.
So
it's a good outlet for us. That's the biggest thing. It's an outlet for us, and it's a good way to meet other people like you along the way.
Yeah, well, thanks. I was raised in the South myself. My dad had cattle for a while, so I grew up sort of on a farm. I was born in born in Oklahoma, but I grew up in a small town called Pearland, Texas, and used to get in fights because I was not as redneck as the rest of my neighborhood. So I always knew that I didn't belong there. In that, you know, I grew up thinking this is not where I'm going to end up. Is that how do you feel like you guys got to that same point? Because when I listen to your show, you're like, I know we're from here, but we're not one of these people.
Well, you know, that's a conflict that we have, honestly, an internal kind of conflict, because, you know, there are a lot of things about our area that we do like. And, you know, from where we're at, we like eating soup, beans, and cornbread. And I admire people that can, you know, play a banjo and country music. And there's just some wonderful people around here. But, you know, the flip side of that is what you were saying. There's we also are a bit different than them. And like you said, you just know it. And things like, and I don't want to be like snooty or better than anybody else, because honestly, we all have our different talents. But just the fact that you know, me and Petra went to college, and we have, you know, pretty nice careers here. I mean, it just separates us from a lot of people who didn't do that, who didn't choose to do that.
Right. Were you guys born and raised in that area? It's Kentucky, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Eastern Kentucky. We live around the Hazard area, and
Duke boys.
That's right. That's right. The Dukes of Hazard. Except I think they were technically in Georgia, but we'll claim them. It's the same thing. So we're basically from this area, Appalachia. That whole swath of Appalachia there. So,
which is gorgeous territory, like you said. Love about that area.
Oh, it's beautiful. And we have lots of, like I said, lots of local stuff. You know, everything from moonshine. You know, Kentucky's famous for bourbon. You know, we have, well, if you're into, and some of it is very good. I'm not a huge country music fan, but the really traditional bluegrass, I mean, this is the heart of that country.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a ton of good stuff in this area too. So we don't want to dwell on all the negatives, but there's a point where we're a little different. And this, like I said before, this gives us a little bit of an outlet to express that. Sound like where you grew up, right?
Yeah, but what was the first sign for you? Do you remember the very first sign you thought about? I might be a little different than these people. What was your first?
You know, probably going to college.
Yeah.
And again, I don't mean to keep hammering that, but just around this area, that's not very common. I mean, not at all. Like when I see an article in a newspaper or somewhere from somewhere else, and you see, like, I don't know, like some of these places around California, there's some places that like the in a community, the college rate will be like 40-50% of the people have a bachelor's degree or higher. And I'm just like, that just doesn't seem possible to where, you know, around here, it's more like probably, and I'm not exaggerating, it's probably 5% or less. And again, no, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You know, everybody has their own different things, but that is just something that makes us different. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I think a lot of things that make people different is travel too. If somebody can travel outside of the area that they're born and raised in to get a different perspective on looking at life, like that, I found out traveling the country doing stand up. You know, it's like, wow, there's a lot more out here than just the attitude of the eight people I grew up with.
Yes, I agree, and that definitely helps too. It certainly does. And me and Petra have lived other places and brought some of that back. That certainly helps too. How did you decide to be a stand-up comedian? How did you go from cattle farmer to comedian? I want to know how that transition happened.
I knew all my life I wanted to do humor somehow, some way. Like my entire life. Because I used to be the cartoonist for the Houston Chronicle, the paper.
You drew the cartoons?
Yeah,
or captioned?
I was a staff artist. I would illustrate stories for them.
Man, you are a talented dude.
Oh,
that's
thanks.
Awesome.
As my dad said, that jack of all trades and the master of none, you know that one?
I believe the first part. I don't think the master of none. That is amazing that you can draw stuff. But to me, that's just like music. That is magical.
Oh, thanks.
Well, that can draw something. So good for you.
That's what I went to college for, was art. I was going to be a fine artist, you know, like a painter.
Yeah.
And then I realized when I started doing cartoons for the college paper, hey, I could whip this stuff out and be done quicker, and they gets a laugh. So it kind of just spun me off in a different direction. And I was doing that work at the newspaper, hanging out with somebody that was dating a comic. And so I started hanging out at the comedy club, and I thought, why can't I just get on stage and tell the cartoons? You know, it's verbally drawing.
Right.
So that was the transition. But seriously, all my life I knew that I wanted to do comedy. I was always cracking jokes or being the weird guy, and I loved comedy on TV, you know, those second guys.
So how long has it been, would you say, that you are a professional comic? Like, that's what you make, or is that what you make your soul living on? Do you have a day job?
No, that's it. That is my day job. Like, tomorrow I leave to go work a cruise ship all through the Caribbean, Jamaica,
awesome.
And Cozumel and stuff. So, yeah, it's been over 30 years. That's all I've done for a living. Like, Janet told me one day, she goes,
30 years?
Yeah.
Wow. You've been, I mean, that's your full-time job as a comedian for 30 years.
Yeah, except for the break that I took to become a radio DJ here in Denver, but I was still doing stand-up on the side, too.
Wow, man. I mean, you're a pro at this. That's amazing.
Well, that's kind of what Janet said to me one day. She goes, have you ever thought about this, that everything, we're sitting in the house, she goes, everything around here you bought with your brain? And
yeah.
I was like, no, I hadn't even thought about that yet, but yeah, I make my money with things that I think of. That's how I make my money. I think of a joke, I tell it. I think of a story, I tell it.
Well, I think that is – well, that's amazing. You could also take that a step further. I mean, think about this. All that stuff was paid for by people laughing.
True.
How about that, by putting that out into the universe?
That's pretty
cool. People laughing paid for that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's just – I love that. That's amazing. Have you I'm sure you have, over 30 years. I mean, what kind of other comedians have you met, interacted with? Any good stories?
All of them. You know, I lived in L.A. for a while, so I worked at the Hollywood Improv. So I've met all the guys. I worked with them over the years, like, you know, Robin Williams and Billy Crystal and seriously, you can almost name somebody, and I've either worked with them or hung out with them just because of hanging out at the clubs.
Wow, that's awesome, man. That's truly amazing.
Yeah, and for a while, I toured as the opening act for Dolly Parton. I worked for her for a year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, from listening to your podcast, and I listen to other people's podcasts who are comedians, I mean, I kind of live vicariously that life through you guys.
Oh, do you?
Well, in a way. I mean, like, I hear the stories of, you know, I hear the stories of just eating dog shit on stage for a while till you learn how to do it. And, you know, I hear all of it, and some of it's good and some of it's bad, but it just sounds like such a journey that so few people would be willing to take. I mean, the first time I got on stage and just ate it, I would just – I think I would just crumble.
No, I agree, and I've told this to people too. If I would have gone on stage and ate it the first time I went on, I would have never done it again. Because I know me. It's like, if I'm not good at something, I'm not going to try this anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And so I got lucky, I guess, that going on stage or just having enough, you know, oomph to get through it,
yeah,
I did it again. And it just got better and better. I mean, that's the way you do it. And I hear this a lot of times by guys will talk about, oh, I ate it at this and I ate it for this. Well, maybe you just need to change directions.
Right. Well, there's a couple of things. One, maybe it's just not the right thing, first of all, for you. And secondly, yeah, maybe you just need to try different things. And we just had our last podcast, we just talked to a guy about, it was a leadership thing, but it has a little bit to do with this. You know, there's a fine line between, you need to stick with it enough to, you know, not quit too soon, But at the same time, we shouldn't be afraid to fail either. And if something's not working, then just say, hey, I failed at that. X that off the list. Go to the next thing that you might be good at.
Right. Or I have known guys that have spun off not being good comics into being great motivational speakers.
Right. Right. Or maybe even it'll spawn off into, a manager of people who are into comedy or entertainment, things like that. I mean, you just never know where one step, you never know where one thing will lead.
Well, I've always been one of those guys.
It's putting yourself out there somehow, right?
True. And I've always been one of those guys that float through life. And I know it bugs a lot of people, and the girl will be like, how do you live like this? If you just let life move you along, you're okay and open to accepting the next thing that comes along. Instead of just being, I'm so worried about losing this. I'm so worried about, what if this doesn't come through? Well, maybe it doesn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a very laissez-faire attitude. But.
Well, and that's a great way to look at it. And most people can't do that. But maybe that's why you have a comedian mind to be able to do that. That is, that's a great way we all should do, is let life just kind of go with the flow. Don't try to swim upstream your whole life. I mean, that's a wonderful attitude, and, you know, it's worked well for you, obviously.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about the time that you and Petra just said, hey, we should try a podcast. How did this conversation come about? How did Hillbilly Nerd Talk actually, what was the germ, the seed that started the whole thing?
Well, let's see. The germ, the seed that started it was probably me, because I have listened to podcasts my whole life. And the reason, just what I'm saying, just to, you know, podcasts are a way for people to hang out with people they might normally not get to hang out with, in a way. I mean, it's a one-way street, but I still feel like I'm hanging out with people when I'm listening to a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen to a lot of podcasts, and then the seed got in my mind of like, well, you know, what if we had a podcast? You know, we have something to offer. And I had this urge or this need or something deep down. I wanted to put something out into the universe in a creative way and see what comes back. And that may sound like stoner, trippy BS, but honestly, you know, I'm not very musically inclined. I'm never going to write a song. But I love listening to music, and I appreciate artists. I'm never going to be a stand-up comedian, but I love to hear that. Yeah. Painting, you know, when you were saying you draw stuff, that's why I admire that. I love looking at good art, but I'm not good at that either. So I just wanted to put something out there into the universe that I thought I might be have some level of talent or ability at, and just see what happens. And so I came up with the idea, and then I threw it out to Petra. I'm like, why don't you be my co-host? This will be fun. It'll be a once a week conversation. We can kind of more have an hour of being ourselves, and it'd be a little less inhibited than we have to be around the rest of the community and blah, blah, blah. And before you know it, it was, you know, we were brainstorming on show names. And Petra is the one that came up with Hillbilly Nerd Talk, actually. And the reason we picked that was just to just write up front and center in your face. We obviously have accents. We're obviously Eastern Kentucky hillbilly accents. You might as well just throw that out right up front. You know, we're hillbillies, but we're also sort of nerdy and that combined. So that's how it started. It germinated from me. I spread to Petra, and now we're spreading it around to whoever else wants to join.
What was some of the earlier names choices?
You know, I don't remember in particular. I know we batted around a few, but I just don't remember them in particular. It didn't have the word hillbilly in it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll tell you one. Oh, excuse me.
That's okay. You would take that?
No, unfortunately, this is hooked into my laptop, and every time my phone rings, every time my phone does anything, it goes through this, so I apologize.
That's okay.
But, no, I'll tell you one, and I was sitting on it for a while, but I don't guess it'll ever happen, so if you want to steal this, you can steal it. But I thought of one, of a name that we almost went with. It's called Talk is Cheap. And I don't know. I thought that was kind of clever, but it didn't address the hillbilly part of it. And the reason I'm thinking talk is cheap is, you know, podcasts are free. So, you know, I thought it was kind of a little double meaning kind of a.
Well, they should be free, and they're free to people that get them. But haven't you noticed what kind of wallet stealers this podcast have become? Like, I need a new mixing board. I need a new mic. I need a new hosting site. I need a website. Like, we're paying money, but it's something we enjoy.
Right. Right. We're putting out a hobby, and we're putting out our, well, for you, well, it depends. For me, it's a hobby, and for some people, it's their full-time job. It depends upon your level, I suppose. But yeah, we're spending money for sure. Yeah, this shit costs a lot of money.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll throw in the end of my podcast. Now, if you guys want to donate, you know, it's one of those deals. But it's only every once in a while, where some guys do it constantly. You know, hey, keep this free, donate. But I never. Right. You guys never do anything like that either.
Not much. I mean, we're going to eventually get a sponsor, and we may do something like that, throw an ad in here or there. We plug our Amazon page, that link, and we get a little money through that.
Does it pay off for you?
Is it what?
Does Amazon pay off every once in a while for you?
You know, not much, to be honest. I mean, hardly any. It's just rare. I don't know. It's people have to take that extra step to go to our website and then click on our banner and get them to Amazon. And, you know, I've had a few people do that, but most people just forget, honestly. They just go themselves.
True.
So,
true.
You know. Well, but again, I'm not doing this to make money. I have a day job, and this is my hobby. And maybe someday, you know, you dream big. Who knows? For any of us, your podcast, mine, I mean, I'm going to be prepared in case something does happen. And that's the reason I'm throwing this out into the universe, just to see what happens. You never know what's going to happen in life if you don't at least get out there and stick your neck out and do something.
Right. You never know what program director might stumble upon your podcast and go, you know, these two would be perfect for our talk channel here. That's
exactly right. If Adam Carolla finds your podcast and like, hey, I think we're going to do a segment on podcasting tonight on the show, and calls you up, boom, next day you got God knows how many subscribers, and it's a whole new ball game.
Exactly.
So, but you don't know until you put something out there. Just like I said, this creative thing that we're doing, I just like that. It's very different than our day jobs where I'm, you know, we do a lot of apartment rentals and commercial property, and it's very, you know, it's just the opposite of this.
Right.
I mean, there's a little bit of creativity, but, you know, we spend our day, you know, calling deadbeat renters sometimes.
Where's my check? Where's my check?
Exactly. Where's my damn money, asshole? So it's a lot different than this.
Now, as a husband and wife team that does this, do you guys ever just disagree on topics that you want to talk about? Or is it ever you had a blow up on the air where, like, uh-oh, this just took a bad turn as a couple?
You know, we haven't yet, and if it ever does, I've always thought about whether we – because I know some podcasts, and some things, entertainment in general, it's more entertaining when something crazy does happen because it's real.
Yeah.
And people get really mad. And I don't know if that ever did happen, if we would want to save it and put it out or just can the episode. So – But nothing's happened, and as far as show topics, generally, during the week, I try to, whatever I'm looking at as far as articles or what's going on in our lives, I'll jot down some notes, and on Sunday, me and Petra get together and, you know, hey, what do you think about to talk about this week, you know, and we compare notes, and it's usually not a big deal. Each of us pick a couple of things, and we're both jabber jaws, so it doesn't take much to
get it going.
So, yeah, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, sometimes I think Janet will be in our discussions on our show that we do together, Wrinkled Sheets, that every once in a while I'll get the feeling from looking at her face that she's like, are you attacking me on this? Like, no, I'm just trying to get something out of you. You made a statement. I want you to back it up or clarify it.
You know? Yeah, and sooner or later, and as it gets heated more and more, I'm really not very political one way or another, but Petra, she can get pretty fired up, I think, about, especially with Hillary and, you know, Donald Trump, and it's really getting down to the nitty gritty now. And Yeah, I think I can get her going sometimes. I got to make sure she's not mad at me and stuff like that. But but yeah, it's fun. It's fun to get people going a little bit. Come on. We all know that. You know it as a comedian. That's
you want to stir it up. A lot of times, even on Facebook, people have noticed this about me. On Facebook, I will put out a provocative post just to start something, and I won't even comment on it. And people will, like, there'll be 200 posts underneath it, and somebody will go, have you noticed he hasn't even been in here?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And there's a little bit of, I don't know if that's trolling or fishing, but whichever one it is, let's face it. Once in a while, it's a little fun to throw something out there and, you know, throw a political bomb out there and just watch what happens.
Yeah,
it's very entertaining.
It's fun to watch people get when you shake them out of their little attitude. You know, you shake their hive and they have to they actually have to come out and look around, you know.
Yes, people flip fuses blow when people are confronted with, especially right now is a good time of year with the political stuff. Just people's realization that not everybody believes the same that they believe is just very agitating to some people. Well, they just can't wrap their head around the fact that, oh my God, there's somebody that thinks differently than I do. Holy shit. And they just absolutely lose it.
Well, I confuse myself a lot with I was raised Southern Baptist. I was raised where there's right and wrong, and that's it. There is right and wrong, and I'm a very linear thinking. Like if A means this, B has to mean that. You know, you have to stick to what you believe in.
Right.
So, dealing with people that go, well, I'd really like to see a woman president. Yes, me too, but not one that's a known liar. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of. Right. It's that kind of. So I fight with myself with that kind of stuff. Like, yes, I would like to see that, but this isn't the one. But now you have to argue with people who say, well, it doesn't matter what she's done. Having a woman president would be a great thing. Yes, but this is – you see what I'm saying? It's that I have trouble dealing with people that don't want to actually go, you're right. That's probably not the right one. Instead of just going, yeah, I don't care. We need this. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, most people don't like to think. Let's just face it.
I agree. That's
and that's step one. And step two, in one, they don't like to think, period, critical thinking. Two, they definitely don't like to change their mind. And you put the two together and it just becomes, you know, it can just be an uphill battle with people. And I enjoy personally friendly debating. Even when you say the word debating, it sounds like it's like an aggressive thing.
But, yeah.
You know, throughout my life, I have changed my mind on many, many topics from when I was, say, a 20-year-old to now I'm 46.
Yeah.
And I know I would venture to say, at least in my area and probably everywhere else, I'd say 90% of the people think pretty much exactly the same way now as they did 20 years ago. I just don't see people really thinking about things and willing to change their mind on much of anything, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but it goes back to what we were saying earlier about the travel. Like I just did 3 weeks in Asia doing comedy through Hong Kong and Singapore and Kuala Lumpur.
Wow.
And I met some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life in that area.
Yeah.
Kuala Lumpur is mostly a Muslim country.
Okay.
It's some of the nicest. Now, we go back to what just happened today in Brussels. People are going, this Islamic terrorism. So now you have to be conflicted with yourself of like going, I met some of the nicest people in the world.
Right.
Yet I'm supposed to be really mad today.
Right.
Do you know? It's like I'm confused.
Yeah, but you know, but you have perspective enough to slow down and say that. Whereas, unfortunately, I think most of the people have a knee-jerk reaction of like, there goes those Muslims again. They're just going to kill us all before it's over. Whereas you have been there and you can be a little conflicted. They go straight to, you know, Muslims are the devil.
Right. But
nice.
But now think about this, though. Shouldn't we be taking on some part of that? instead of just going, you know, where people, you know, that's Islamophobia. Instead of just going, no, we need to actually fight the fraction that is fighting us.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh,
I get so annoyed
totally
by the people that just
want
to throw up an immediate, you're just racist and don't look like, no, face the real facts of what's going on in the world.
Right. Again, like you said before, people hate to think, they hate to be confronted with facts. When you throw out even something like the fact that, well, there's radical Christians too. There's people that bomb abortion clinics. Oh, well, yeah, but that's different. Like, well, how's it different? You know, we have wackadoos in Christianity just like we have wackadoos in other religions. And if given, honestly, the right, it wouldn't take much for our wackadoo Christians to become just like these Muslims, these radical Muslims. And I mean in major, big, big groups of them and do pretty bad things.
Like a whole new crusades.
Right. And that's another thing. And I know people say, well, that was in the history. But yeah, people forget about that. People forget about all the literally millions of people who were tortured and killed in the name of Christianity during the Crusades. They conveniently forget about all that. I'm not to say that that makes what the Muslims, the radical Muslims, are doing right, but I'm just saying people should be a little more tolerant of it, and it's good that you are thinking about that, but most people don't. They just go straight to Muslim equals bad. Right?
Blow them all up! Blow the whole thing up! Turn the country into glass!
Exactly. Exactly. We ought to just nuke them all back to Stone Age. Is that what we ought to do?
And that won't take very far.
Those damn towel heads. I guess you hear them now. They say that all the time around here. Oh, drives me crazy.
Oh, they still call them that around there?
No. They call them, that's the nice part of what they call them. The other part is sand N-word.
Oh, yeah.
And that's common. I mean, yeah, it's people just lose their mind over that stuff.
Well, the internet has brought us more into this world society that we're all connected somehow, some way. And I think the old days, you know, people talked like that in their neighborhood to each other. And now you're like, hey, you know, that goes around the world when you say that.
You know, it does. And do you think that'll make things overall when – do you think it's going to make things overall better or worse? When people
– worse.
You think it'll make it worse?
Yeah, I do. I sit and think too much because that's what I do for a living. And I think, you know, think about this. Kentucky football, you guys have rivalries, right? Like the next city over. It's your next city. You don't even like them.
Right.
And it's been going on for how long?
Years, of course.
See what I'm saying? And I think that's just the way it is. I think, you know, people just have rivalries. Why do people come to another country and we have Chinatown? Because they all get together and want to live in the same area. You know, I think we was Koreatown. Why? Because they like – I think that's just human nature. And I think when we try to keep trying to push it together, wouldn't it be great if we did this? Yes, it would be. But trying to make your cow hump your horse is not going to make it happen. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I see. I'm hopeful that it'll get worse for a while because right now people kind of see everybody's ugly side. But I'm kind of hoping that sooner or later, almost this transparency or when people see who people are, that maybe it'll put enough societal pressure on people to kind of behave a little bit. Too much conformity is bad. I get that. But at the same time, like, I think we've moved, I think this will help move us along a little bit. For example, if somebody puts on their Facebook page something with the N-word and I support the KKK, they are probably going to get a wrath of people, you know, raining down.
True.
You know, on them. There's a lot of people, I think, that are behaving themselves a little better because of this stuff, maybe. But I don't know. I see your point, too. At a certain point, we all are. There's going to be some differences, and you know, we should embrace those and go with the flow with the other, right?
Right, right. But I think we're becoming this packed, tighter bomb by saying you guys have to do that. You have to do that. You have to. There's going to be somebody go, I'm not fucking doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. And that's true, too. That I see that side of it, too. There's going to be some wackadoos like the dude that killed all those people in those movie theaters. That, like, you know, screw you. I'm going to say and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
So, we got to ferret them out somehow faster. But
ferret them out.
Ferret them out. That's right. Get the wiener dogs in the hole and get them out of there. Get those groundhogs out of their dens. but that's good stuff.
I just think that we've all, you know, the whole multicultural thing is a good idea, and it's great when we do get along, but to force it is the bad idea. Does that make
sense? Yeah, I got you. Yeah, kind of let it organically happen.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just going back to what you were saying, when you were in that country hanging out with Muslims and they were all cool, you know, you get to see that. And when people hang out with, the more we all mingle with each other, the more we all are going to figure out that we're all not all, you know, we're not all the demons that society and everybody else tries to put out there that we are.
You blue-eyed devil.
Yeah. White devil. White devil, white devil.
Well, that's another thing that's going on, I think, in this country right now is I think we're worse now than we were 20, 30 years ago.
As far as racial stuff?
Yeah. I think we got along better, and I don't know what happened. I really don't know because some of my – seriously, now I sound like that. Some of my best friends are black. But, yes, it is, and we're all confused, you know, because we're older. We look at this new generation that's angry, and you're like, what the fuck are you angry about?
Yeah, that's a complicated issue. And, you know, I have to rely on news and you and podcasts and people because, frankly, and this is not being racist, this is just the truth, we don't have any black people in Eastern Kentucky. We just don't. And that's just a fact. If there was ever a place for the KKK, their dream place, it's here because of that. But I don't have a lot of perspective on that because I'm just, well, there's not a large population of African Americans here. So what I see on TV, I get one side of it, but I wish there was more so I could hear the flip side of it.
Right.
I mean, it seems like on, obviously there's obviously race stuff going on with, you know, there's a lot of these really vague police shootings of black people in a, I don't know. It's just it's a tough situation, my man.
But is it vague though? Because the media points it out only here it is again. But you didn't show the two shootings of the white guy or the Chinese guy, you know, because that's not news.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how much I'm being manipulated by that or how much of it is really, you know, something going on. And I just don't. But, you know, going back to like you were saying, like in years past, I will say one thing that does seem to be, it seems to be there's some, we all, and this is everybody in general, I think we're a little more sensitive and we're all kind of looking to be a little more pissed off than we used to be in the past.
Yeah. And why do you think that?
I don't know. That is a weird question. And this is something that came up the other day that we were noticing. Like if I have a black friend and I say something to him, make a black joke, and he clearly understands that it's a joke, it's me and him, nobody should be offended. Probably nobody will be offended, but he just don't know anymore. I mean, but somebody else could overhear that and like, then it would just be the end of the world for a person.
I find out that, when I'm doing stuff in clubs and things, it is people being offended for somebody.
Right.
It's not about the person being offended or a race being – it's the other person that's like, do you know what you just said? Of course I do. You know what I mean?
It's that kind of – I said it to this guy.
Yeah. And see the Asian guy that's laughing because I made the joke about him to his face? And why are you offended?
Right. Right. We saw the other day an episode of this was we were on an old rerun of classic TV, but we were watching an old MASH episode, and I was pointing out to Petra, and this is on the TV show. On the movie, it's also, but on the TV show, the first few seasons, they had a black guy on MASH.
Uh-huh.
His name is Spear Chucker.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dude's name. Nobody thought any of it. It was a joke. And I don't know if people were offended back then. They shouldn't have been. But can you imagine today if they tried to put that on a TV show of, you know, even an Asian guy and his name was Squinty or anything like that?
Right.
It would just be the end of the world, right?
Well, imagine TV All in the Family or any of those shows trying to ever make it on TV today.
Not on the networks. There's no way.
Right. Go to a TV executive and go, I'd like to put a show on about this guy that's really racist and has a racist attitude.
Right. And people are going to get it that he is that, and they're going to be kind of laughing at him.
Right.
And they'll be like, well, but what if they don't get the joke? What if they think he's serious? Or I can just see – you can see it
now.
Oh,
yeah. You couldn't do that good TV at all anymore. And I think that that's part of the problem with humor is everybody's like so wants to be offended, and you got to have your safe space now, which is another
right.
which is another thing I was wanted to talk to you about, because you mentioned the college education. When I went to college, that was the place for those open conversations. What happened?
More so. Yeah.
What happened now that you can't have the other side come talk to you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that all started. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what college campuses are like now, but yeah, that was a big part of college, was certainly being around different ethnicities, different cultures, even on my little campus. And that was amazing. I had a dude in my fraternity who, I can't remember this dude's name, it doesn't matter anyhow, but we were at the fraternity house one time. Tall dude, he's out there on the porch, literally reading like the Satanic Bible.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the hell? And he's like, well, I just want to read different things. I want to get perspective. You know, he said, you don't know, how you going to know who's writing an argument if you don't hear both sides of it? I'm like, dude, you got a pretty good point.
Yeah.
So, you know, a few months later or whatever, he's out there reading the Bible. That dude read the Satanic Bible cover to cover, and he read the Holy Bible cover to cover. Like, you gotta admit, I mean, that dude has some perspective, and I just love that I met characters like that guy.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, and that's true. How do you know which side of the debate? Well, I see your point, but what about this? You know, it's kind of like talk radio. I love listening to talk radio, both sides. I listen to whether it's a progressive talk show or a right-wing talk show, because I want to know what everybody is talking about.
Well, right. Well, that's because you're an intelligent dude. That's why we're talking.
So are you
right.
Are you sort of that same way? I mean, you listen to both or want to know?
I do try to. And it's, as you say that, isn't it kind of odd that there's these different teams now? Like you got team MSNBC versus Team Fox and things like that. But yeah, I do try to listen to both and the best I can formulate something.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like you take in all of it and then make your own decision instead of just going, yeah, like what they said on MSNBC. Yeah, I agree with that.
Right. And there are so many people who we all know. They're just spoon-fed all this stuff, and it's just, I don't know, it's not getting us anywhere by this one-way thinking. And the other thing, too, that I try to keep in mind, I read this in some book, and I don't remember, it's a quote by some famous person that's a million times more famous than I'll ever be, but they said that they themselves tried to keep in perspective that if they were right, and they estimated that they were probably right about things maybe 60, 65% of the time at best. And they kept in their mind that at any time, there's at least a 40, 50% chance that they're wrong. I think that's a good way to keep things in perspective, too.
Oh,
something
yeah.
that we think in our minds, we are just 100% dead set that whatever, that Hillary's going to be the next white devil. we may be 100% wrong, and she might be the greatest president ever. And people are very, I think, unwilling to do that in general, to even consider the concept of, holy shit, I may be 100% wrong about this. So I try to do that myself when I can.
Well, that scares me, the attitude of people that think, you know, the president has to be perfect. That's another right. thing that – what you, it can't have had a human flaw. He can't have had a divorce. He can't have done maybe a sneaky business deal or any of that stuff just because
– You know, think about – I was thinking about this the other day. And again, whether it's Hillary or Donald Trump, let's just say Hillary. Just think about what you just said, that she's a human being. I mean, she had to get up this morning, take a shower, get ready, prep for these interviews. Imagine all the things she did today. And on top of that, keep, you know, interpersonal relationships. She's got friends along the way. She has a husband. I mean, she's trying to manage her life just like we're trying to manage our life.
Right.
And just imagine how much organization and how much, you know, how much thought goes into her day and organizing all that stuff. It must be incredible.
That's where a good personal assistant comes in.
Yeah. Right.
I would love to have somebody that just followed me around and told me where I need to go. Oh, what I need to be in 10 minutes. Here, put this on because you're going on TV. Wouldn't that be incredibly good?
Can you imagine? Yeah. You know, and someday, Steve, we will have that. It's called a nursing home. And they're gonna, okay, Mr. McGrew, it's time for you to eat your breakfast.
Yeah, for you to get out of bed and go to the bathroom.
Come on over. It's time to watch Price is Right.
Oh, good. A good common area with a TV. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, there's your personal assistance in your personal care home someday. I think it'll be fantastic. I can't wait.
Oh, I've got a few questions I want to ask you here real quick.
Sure.
iPad just restarted. I don't know if yours is doing this. I upgraded, and now it just randomly turns on and off. Does your – Are,
no,
you, are you an iPad
like,
guy?
Sound like you got a sound like you're a ghost, my friend.
God, I hate this thing. Now I'll have to take out this little piece, but I got to find. I had a thing on the computer. I had called up. It was all ready to
That's
ask.
That's a sign me. Of a demon in your life, son.
I need enough. Jesus. I need Jesus. Come heal my iPad.
You do.
Oh, let me
take
see
your iPad up there and dunk it in that holy water. See what that does for it.
Hold on just a sec. I'll find this and cut this.
Take
this.
Your time.
Okay. Yeah, looked over.
I'm doing this on a laptop, and it's been working pretty well, knock on wood.
Oh, good. Well, I've got you going through my laptop. I keep a laptop, iPad, and I have a little mini Galaxy tablet here, too.
How often do you podcast?
Well, I try to do it. I was doing it every week.
Nice.
And then sometimes travel will get me – messed up, or the past couple times I had some guests that I had lined up canceled at the last minute, then that screws me up because I'm not just going to go ahead and sit here and talk by myself to, you know.
Right, that makes sense.
Right.
We try to do ours once a week also, but once in a while life gets in the way.
Yeah. All right, here's some – I'm going to ask you some questions. Just
okay.
And just throw out your as a youngster, what was your favorite film?
I would say, depends on how young we're talking about. I'm going to give it a toss up between, I'm just going to go with it. Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was my favorite.
Oh.
Star Wars is right there, but I got to say, I loved Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was an awesome movie.
That really was a great movie.
Gosh, when it came out, it was just holy shit. Nobody had ever seen anything like that.
No, nothing like that.
The action, like, was so like action movies before then were stuff like Deliverance, where it was like 40 minutes of acting and then 5 minutes of action.
Yeah.
And then another 30 minutes of acting. That movie changed everything. It was like, holy shit, this movie is start to finish stuff happening. It was just, I loved that movie.
How do you think it's held up over the years when you rewatch it?
You know, I think it's held up pretty well. I think very well. It's not, you know, it's enough tongue-in-cheek humor till you don't take it so seriously. They throw in a few little quippy lines, like that one where somebody somehow is asking him, you know, what are we going to do next? And he's like, I don't know. I'm making this up as I go. Like, you know, just enough to let you know, oh, come on, this is a fun ride. Don't think about it too much. I don't know. I think it holds up very well. What do you think?
I have to agree, because some of the movies I watch from that time period, you go, oh, the special effects, horrible.
Right.
And I think that still holds up well, even as far as the technology of the film.
Sure, and the whole plot, you know, being, you know, back, you're battling the Nazis again, and the whole archaeology and the mystery.
Fantastic. Are you looking forward to the new Indiana Jones? Apparently, that's going to come out.
I'm afraid of it, honestly. And part of these things, you know, it's not fair. We all do this, just like I did with Star Wars. It's, you know, we don't have the same mind we had when we were 10 years old, and we're not looking at these movies with our 10-year-old eyes and our 10-year-old brain. And when people are like, oh, this last Indiana Jones movie, God, it was awful. And maybe it was, but if that movie had been the first one, and that was the first one you had saw back in the 70s or early 80s, I mean, you would might have been the same way, right?
Right.
You just don't know, because now you're an adult and you've seen four of them. So, you know, it's hard to judge.
Right. And this goes kind of to what Janet said to me the other day. She goes, do you get excited about anything anymore? Because if we walk out of a movie, I'll go, it's all right. Do you get excited? At some point, like you said, I'm not looking at it with the 10-year-old brain anymore. If I've already seen it or done it two or three times, I'm not excited anymore.
Right. Right, and I don't want to be a party pooper on this stuff, and I try to do that. But like here's a great example, and me and Petra talked about this on the show a long time ago. But we just recently rewatched Jurassic World, the latest Jurassic Park, and then a buddy of mine, I was telling him, like, yeah, I saw the latest Jurassic World movie. He's like, well, how was it? I'm like, well, not to spoil anything, but you know what? A bunch of dinosaurs end up getting loose, and guess what? They eat a bunch of people. There you go. I hate to spoil it for you, but
right.
guess what? They open up this park, and these dinosaurs get out of control, and they eat people. At some point,
spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Right? How many times can I see the same thing and not get a little bored?
You're right. And this goes back to your a movie before. So, like, they created that dinosaur. Remember that? The park wasn't doing well, so they genetically mutated this new dinosaur. How many movies have we seen where they genetically mutated a dog with a hybrid of something, and now it's running loose, killing things?
Right.
It's
right.
Like, I've seen this shit before.
And one thing I'll say, and this is why I like Janet's podcast, the Two Girls and a Bottle of Wine, and this is why I love my wife Petra, because they can look at it with kids' eyes again. My wife Petra, she loved Jurassic World. It was just like she had seen that for the first time in her life, and I admire that. That is fantastic that she has that childlike ability to do that. I love that.
But yeah, I don't have it.
I have it at times, but most of the time I don't. I have to say it starts to get a little old.
Yeah. Well, here's the next question.
Okay.
What is the worst thing you've ever eaten?
I've ever eaten?
Ever eaten.
Holy crap. Wow, these are tough questions, my man. Well, I'll tell you, my first instinct is, as a kid, somebody daring you and eating a bug.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I'll have to agree with you on that.
Every guy's done that, right? As a kid, you eat a bug.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So
double dog dare you.
That's right. Come on. Right. You got to do it. I did it.
If you could throw one person off TV and into a pit of sharks, who would it be?
One person on TV. Well, I don't know if I have a burning really hatred for anybody on TV, because I know they're just kind of talking heads doing their thing. I have some people in life I'd like to do that with, but I don't know if they're on TV or not.
So that you're not like a Kardashian hater or that kind of thing, or a.
You know, not really. I mean, like anybody you can think of like that, I see where you're going with that question, trying to get a who do you hate on TV kind of thing. Like even who's the guy that's married to Kardashian? 50 Cent?
Oh, Kanye.
Oh, Kanye West. Yeah. You see, I get him all mixed up. even that dude, I know he's just pushing buttons, trying to be entertaining in his own weird way. I really don't hate any of these TV personalities in particular. Maybe one of these rabble-rousing, you know, religious crazy fanatics out there. But I don't know. The Pit of Shark thing.
You just don't have anybody you want to get killed that bad.
Oh, I have a list of people I want dead.
Oh, okay. That's different. I should have asked it that way. Do you have a list? Yeah. Who's on your list of people you want dead?
Well, let's see. There's a renter of mine, and there's some of that.
And that person calling.
There's this people that keep calling. There we go. No, you know, yeah. I would say there's just not really – they just don't come to mind. I have a conflict with a renter right now. And he's on my list of people I wish would die. Uh-huh. But, you know, he's the latest example.
Okay.
But when people ask, this is one thing, you know, I just can't think of them off the top of my head like this. But when you ask people, like, is there, if you could snap your fingers and one person in the world would die, and people are like, oh, there's no way, I would never. I'm like, really? There's got to be, like, when Osama bin Laden was alive, you wouldn't snap your fingers? Like, people are hesitant to say stuff like that. And I'm not really hesitant. I just can't remember who's on my list. But, you know, I mean, there's some bad people out there that the world would be better off without. Let's face it. I just can't think of any of them offhand.
Right. Well, okay. If you had a superpower, what would you like it to be?
My superpower would be time travel.
Oh, I agree.
God, I'd love to time travel. Even if it's just a day, just one day. Back in the past would be phenomenal. Can you imagine?
To what point? Where would you like to go in the past?
Well, if I had the superpower, I'd go all over the place. But as far as I'd sample all of it. I would love to be there, like Rome. Like, that would be interesting to see how that really was. It really as good as everybody kind of all the start of democracy and all this stuff, or was it kind of shitty? You know,
it has to be a little shitty.
It has to be. They didn't have running water and all that. I mean, they had a little stream that ran by their house. And they're like, oh, they're the first people with running water. And believe me, they're not taking any hot showers, jackass. Believe me, it's not exactly staying a night at the, you know, at the Hilton in Las Vegas.
No, but it's pretty amazing. Have you ever been to Rome or?
No, area. But I'd love to see some of those ancient structures.
I went to Italy and was working a cruise ship over there and went to Cusadasi, which is one of the oldest Roman ruins.
Yeah.
And they showed this area where their plumbing looks like modern plumbing.
No, they did have a little water running.
They did. They had a little – and they had tanks, like these holding tanks up the hill that the pressure – would push the water through things. And
it's
sort of amazing what they had at the time, but you have to think, all right, it was still the time. They still, right. Maybe if you had a few modern things that were about to happen, but they were still throwing pots of poop out in the streets and they're right. You know what I mean?
Right, right. You're not heating up a hot dog in a microwave.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see some. I'd like to see the civilizations that I'd love to see. Here's a big one. This is probably a no brainer, but wouldn't you like to watch these people build the damn pyramid?
Wouldn't
I'd like to solve that mystery once and for all. Like, you know, I want to see these aliens levitating these blocks or whatever the hell they're doing. I want to figure out how that works.
Are you a believer of the levitation of the stones, or do you think it was drugged by slaves?
I have no idea. Nobody. Well, I have seen of all the articles and all the documentaries, as I am always fascinated by that. One documentary I saw from a guy who's an engineer, and he was a mechanical engineer himself. And he started piecing together with a small model. They know these holes that go into the pyramid, and they know some of these things. They just don't know what they're for. And this guy, I don't know all the details, but he worked out where things would go into these holes and how the levers would work. And to my satisfaction watching that, as far as I'm concerned, that guy figured it out. He figured out how with small amounts of people, you know, like maybe 1,000 people or less, that with the right kind of lever and the right kind of, you know, poles and pulleys stuck in these holes that are for sure in a pyramid, that these blocks could be moved and positioned. So, yeah, I think, I'm not with the, it's aliens, you know. I'm not on that camp. You know, if it was aliens, why the hell would they build a pyramid? Really? That's all aliens have to do to travel a million light years across a galaxy so they can help us bunch of monkeys throw some rocks into the shape of a pyramid? What the hell does that do?
I know. That's what's confusing about all this stuff. You know, you think, I would like to believe there was some alien that came along and did that, but why would they do that? You know, I'm with you on. I want to believe that something was before us, but why would they just do something as basic as a pyramid?
Right. I mean, if anything, maybe at the dawn of man, maybe some aliens came by and sprinkled some human seeds around and let us sprout, and then we sprouted into the people who built the pyramids. But yeah, once we're already people, I don't see why they would help us build a pyramid. You know, why didn't they help us figure out nuclear fusion back then or something that was helpful? Like, really? You helped us build this giant thing of rock? That really did us a lot of good. Thanks a lot, jackasses. How about teaching us that wormhole thing?
You know? well, that might have just been them helping us build a phone booth for getting back to them.
Maybe they just haven't figured it out yet. Right. Hit the right button in there. Maybe that's what it is. That'd be awesome.
Well, here's the next question for you. What was the first album you bought?
First album. Well, let's see. That would probably – I've listened to music a long time. And I listened to my sister's records before I had mine. I'd say the first one I bought on my own was probably AC/DC, probably Back in Black.
Oh, there you go.
1980. It was a bit controversial. Your parents didn't want your parents to catch you listening to it because it had Hell's Bells on it and that kind of thing. So, but man, I wore that out. It was a tape. And I thoroughly wore both sides of that tape out.
Did you sing along?
Oh, for sure. Who doesn't? Who couldn't?
That was one of the good things about AC/DC is you didn't have to really sing well to sing along. You just had to screech.
Gravelly. Well, that guy wasn't Australian. The first guy was. But that gravelly voice with the it was just magical. And that's still one of my favorite albums. I mean, every song on that is just let it play just continuously. That's an awesome. I assume you like AC/DC.
I love AC/DC. Yeah,
I'm God. If you don't like any guy that doesn't like AC/DC, you gotta get your guy card revoked.
Well, you can be in any club, even a cowboy club, country bar, and the DJ throws on AC/DC.
Yeah,
people get on the dance floor.
Oh,
there's something
for sure
about that. People, everybody loves a good AC/DC song.
Sure. Right. Who in the world does not like You Shook Me All Night Long?
Right.
Or Back in Black. Of those two songs, I defy hardly anybody not to like them, know the words. You probably know at least half the lyrics. Everybody does. I mean, you know all of them, but I mean, most people know half of them. They just don't know they know half of them.
Right. They just move their mouth to the tune. But
yeah, it's automatic. Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Who would be on your, if I may ask you a question, who would be on your Mount Rushmore as far as top musicians or bands or whatever?
Oh, it would be Bob Dylan.
I can give you mine. Mine real quickly would be AC/DC, uh-huh. The Beatles, Led Zeppelin, uh-huh. Pink Floyd.
Oh, so you're really into that kind of classic rock? That
yes, I love that kind of psychedelic era of yes, that's my favorite.
Ah, now I like the Beatles. I was never a big Beatles fan. I like some Led Zeppelin tunes, but never bought every album.
Right.
So I was more into like Neil Young and Bob Dylan. And yeah. Jackson Browne. I was more into singer-songwriter kind of music.
I need to get more into Bob Dylan. The fact they never play it on classic rock stations or only a few songs. But, you know, he shows up on every list of just unbelievably great, talented, you know, the whole package you just said, songwriting. And yeah, he has a gravelly voice. People make fun of that. But that's part of it.
Yeah, but don't you think some of the best singers are the... Not unique. Yes, that's the perfect way to say it. Like Tom Petty, not a great singer, but I love his music. Bob Dylan, not a great singer. Same thing. Neil Young, he's no Engelbert Humperdinck. But
that's right.
I love the music.
Right. That's why mine and your podcasts are going to be famous someday. Right.
They're so
this hillbilly accent. Nobody else. I don't hear any Howard Stern in this voice.
Yeah, they don't see us coming. That's what it is.
Right. Somebody plays one of ours, and they're like, holy shit, who is this? Boom. You got it. So, yeah, no, I like that psychedelic stuff. And yeah, you're liking the songwriters. And I can appreciate all that. And even going back to what you were saying, you know, even your time travel question, and it's not this isn't a million miles in the past, but, you know, I'd like to even just travel back to the 60s and experience the music. That, to me, just seemed like a magical time from about 1963-ish to about 1975, late 70s. That just seems like, I don't know what drugs these musicians were their drug of choice during that time, but God, it just produced some of the greatest music. I mean, the Doors, like I said, Led Zeppelin and Jefferson Airplane, and you're Bob Dylan and the Beatles, and it just goes on and on of just some of the greatest songs. And I don't think it's just because I'm an old curmudgeon here either. I know every generation thinks their music is the best and blah, blah, blah. But hell, here's an argument I will say to that. Even with these video games like Rock Band, all the songs on Rock Band are songs from the 70s, 80s. I don't see a lot of Justin Bieber on Rock Band.
True.
So everybody else is I think, halfway on board with this, too. So anyway.
Well, who is your would be your favorite singer-songwriter if you could pick one of those type of?
Well, let's see. I picked all bands, I guess, yeah. For my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, because you'd have like 16 people on your Mount Rushmore.
Oh yeah. I got you. So, yeah. Because I got all the band members. Single individual people. Well, there's just so many. I keep thinking of groups. Like I said, the Doors. I like Bruce Springsteen quite well. That dude can write.
Yeah. Yes.
Tom Petty. That dude's good. There's a hodgepodge. I'll go with Bruce Springsteen's pretty. He's up there.
Okay. I'll agree with you.
Single solo act. I guess I'll go with Bruce.
And my single solo, and I have to say this, is Bob Dylan because I even named my kid after him.
Nice.
That's what a Bob Dylan fan I am.
Nice. That's the way it rolls right there. Nice.
Have you ever met any of your favorite people like that? A member of Led Zeppelin or any group? Have you ever stumbled across them in an airport or anything?
No, I can't say I have. Maybe someday for this podcast on a Skype interview or someday, but I haven't. And you know, I wouldn't want to get too starstruck to the point that I aggravated somebody. Like if I just happen to be, let's just say I just happen to be at a bar somewhere, some little dive, and let's just say. Whoever, let's say Paul McCartney walked in and sat down next to me. I would hope I would just be something, you know, like hey, man, you know, you put out some good work. Good, nice job, man.
Yeah.
Just something like that. I'm not going to, oh, my God, you're Paul McCartney. Holy shit. Like, I would want to be reserved.
You wouldn't want to fan out on him.
Right. I wouldn't want to do that. Exactly. And I wouldn't want to do that. I have a friend who, and you probably met tons of these people. So at least you met all these comedians. But I have a friend, local, to make a long story short, he ended up at Billy Joel's wedding. And this guy is just a normal dude. It's just that his wife happened to be friends of the girl Billy Joel was marrying. This is about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So this guy from Eastern Kentucky, random dude, just a blue-collar worker at a local factory, he ends up at Billy Joel's house at his wedding. And he's hanging out in the kitchen, he tells me. And he has some like, he didn't take pictures, but he had some pictures of who was there casually. But he's saying that he's in the kitchen area of Billy Joel's house, and he's talking to, on one side of him, Don Henley, and on the other side of him, Howard Stern and Lindsey Buckingham.
Wow.
Back. They're in a three-way conversation just talking about, yeah, hey, man, it was a nice wedding, wasn't it? And just talking casual bullshit.
Just normal people at this point.
Just normal people, yeah. And I'm like, and I wouldn't. Like I said, I would hope I wouldn't. But it would just take everything I own to be like, holy shit, you wrote Hotel California. I can't believe I'm fucking talking to you. Like, you know, that would be my dream to go to something like that just for the vibe,
yeah,
and the karma of being around those people. Like, just something might infuse into me, you know, some good cosmic rays from your creativity might somehow
get off
enter
on you.
My brain. I'd love that.
Yeah. I was walking through the Denver airport here not long ago, and Eddie Money was walking right toward me.
Yeah.
And I recognized him, and I have no idea, you know, I'm sure he didn't recognize me, but for a split second, it was so funny. We looked at each other, we nodded, and he says, "And here we go." And we walked past each other. That's all. It was the weirdest thing. He goes, "And here we go." Like, is he saying, we're both about to start a trip in the airport, or do I look like an entertainer to him? And so he's like, this is what we do, you know? And it was a very weird moment.
That's like a ripple in the Matrix there.
Sort
of. What happened there? You might have just dodged death. You know? He might have been sizing you up for God knows what,
yeah,
right?
And here we go.
And here we go. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he thought you were getting ready to ask him
something,
or you were somebody else. You were getting ready to attack. He might have had a shank ready to just, if you'd said just the wrong word.
Yeah, but, or maybe, I didn't even thought about it. Maybe he did because I looked at him. Maybe he's like, oh, Christ, here we go, another fan. But I took it as, and here we go on our journeys, you know.
Yeah. Who knows? Kind of trippy, man. I like it.
Yeah. Cool.
No, I like Eddie Money too. I ran through him on one of the ones as a solo, but I wouldn't put him up there on the top of whatever. But
just shake it, come on!
Yeah. I like the Money Man.
Oh,
two tickets to paradise.
That's right. Awesome. There you go. Hey, do you have any phobias?
Not in particular. No, nothing I'm crazy afraid of.
No spider things. No empty swimming pools. No.
No, water, snakes. I'm good to go with all that stuff.
Not like Billy Bob Thornton and antiques.
Antiques?
Did you know really? That about him? Yeah.
No.
Billy Bob Thornton is scared of antiques. He's actually had chairs and tables removed from rooms.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
There's something you're gonna have to Google when we get done here.
Can you believe that dude banged Angelina Jolie? Is that not incredible?
Is that not?
Dude, that tells you right there it is some sort of Matrix setup or something. You know, how is that even possible that even happened?
And they carried each other's blood in vials.
Yeah, right?
Do you and Petra do that?
Oh, well, of course. That goes without saying. Yeah, we do that, but no, but everybody else that does it's a wackadoo. Yeah. No, Yeah, that's a ripple in the universe that shouldn't exist. That just shouldn't.
It should not. Well,
Brad Pitt must, anytime there's an argument in that household, he must just say to Angelia, like, you slept with Billy Bob Thornton.
Yo, don't talk to me about that. You slept with Billy Bob Thornton.
Argument over. That's it. whatever it is.
That's the end of it right there. That's
that argument right there. Yep.
Well, you're not going to want to take this any farther, because I know you slept with Billy Bob Thornton.
Right. And she's like, oh yeah, well you slept with a really pretty girl.
From Friends.
Yeah, you slept with that Friends girl. He's like, oh, yeah, really, break my heart. Yeah, Jennifer Aniston. Okay, yeah, I'm guilty. Slept with her. That wouldn't go anywhere.
Well, you know, there's people that can hold grudges about that. I'm pretty sure, and Janet will let me know or not, but I think she still holds a grudge toward Angelina by stealing Jennifer's husband.
Oh yeah. I think a lot of girls, oh yeah, they think she's the lady tiger that stole him away. Oh yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I thought they hold those kind of grudges. It's kind of like Janet has this love, this massive love for Miranda Lambert, which I think is a great singer. You know, I love her stuff. Yeah. But she is like, if Blake Shelton comes on TV now, she's like, turn it off. I don't even want to see it. Like, like, you want to see The Voice? Nope. Don't care a thing about Blake Shelton. Hey, you know, Blake's got a new single. I don't give a shit. He split up with Miranda. Worst thing he ever did in his life. You know, they can just divide up things like that instead of just letting it go.
Well, it's a good soap opera, you know, and that's one of the fun things about Janet's show, Two Girls in a Bottle of Wine, is I get caught up on my celebrity.
It's like
your celebrity, I want to say celebrity death match, but it's more like WWE wrestling. Like, you know, who's the bad guy and who took somebody's girl and things like that.
Right.
But just like you were saying before, like somebody I want on TV to throw in a shark tank, I realize personally that it is all just a show. To me, it's totally entertaining to me. I don't get personally wrapped up in it. But I fully see the entertainment value of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Yeah. Well, thanks for, man. We're in an hour 15 now. I appreciate you doing the show with me.
Hey, no problem, man. I'm going to give you a shameless plug. If anybody interested in our show, it's hillbillynerdtalk.com is where you can go. Our website has our Twitter link and Facebook and how to subscribe to the show. And I appreciate you I appreciate you having me on your show.
No, I really wanted to, and I do love your show. You guys are my subscribe list.
I'm very honored to hear that.
And I like it when you've been having comics on as guests on your show. So, see?
Yes, and and definitely you're going to take you're on the list. We get so busy sometimes that it's hard for us to do interviews and things like that, and our time frame's limited. Mm-hmm. But this is exactly, like I said, why we started this was to meet people like you and the fact that you have met and known tons of comics. You've been in the entertainment industry for, I guess, 20, 30 years, you said.
Yeah, 30 years.
I can't tell you how honored me and Petra are that you subscribe to our little podcast. We appreciate it very much.
Well, you do a great job. One more time before we go. It's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, and you're on like iTunes, Stitcher, all that, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Stitcher, iTunes, you can just do the RSS feed. You can listen to it just straight from the website if you keep that on your browser. We're pretty much out there, easy to consume.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. Hank, thanks for doing the show, and say hey to Petra for me.
Hey, will do. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later, man. Have a good one.
All right, talk to you later.
See ya.
All right, bye.
Well, that was Hank from the Hillbilly Nerd Talk. Hank and Petra. Love the podcast. You guys should check it out. Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I think you will enjoy it. If you enjoy my podcast, I'm pretty sure you'll love their podcast. How many ways can I tell you to go listen to the Hillbilly Nerd Talk? But I do appreciate you listening to Remasculate. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for downloading us, tuning us in, finding us on Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio. This podcast is blowing up. It's everywhere. And that's all thanks to you guys that keep spreading the word. I need you to do me a favor. If you're a regular listener or even a new listener, first time listener, please go over to iTunes and give us a review on iTunes. That helps people find us, because that helps move us up the chain there and puts us up higher in the, you know, the big clump of the Adam Carollas and those kind of those podcasts that are always up in the top 10, 20, all those. So help us out. Help Remasculate grow. We're doing it because of you. I just signed a new thing with Spreaker Radio. I'm going to get more storage and try to do more stuff with Spreaker. So if you want to donate to the show and help us grow, you could do that. Go over to the Podbean page for Remasculate and click on the donate button there on the right-hand side of the page. And donate whatever you can, $1, $5, $10, $20,000, whatever you want to donate. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.
In the basement of the mud flap house, flapping and poo, and they're underwear, thing rings and news, and poo licks herself, and flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and stooges three, men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about booze and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you lay. Oh, won't you come with me and remask you lay?
Aloha!